Now, there we go. Okay, we're good to go. And hi, I see Mildred. I believe that's who it is. You're on. I've got your call line opened. Mildred, you're on. Okay, well, it looks like Mildred doesn't want to speak at the moment, so you can sign back in if you want to. And Jesse is on. Hi, Jesse. Jesse?
Yes. I'm
Hi.
just making sure that you know that I have changed my email address. I emailed it to you about a week ago. But let me tell you what it is. My address is this: jessiefurrioles@gmail.com. And I
I
have
got
received.
that, Jesse.
You got it? Good. I
Yeah.
haven't received anything from you, so I thought I just don't want to be disconnected.
Oh,
Be
you're not.
unconnected, I'm sorry.
Okay. We will. So it's Jesse Friels, right?
Jesse Ferriol's my name.
Okay, and it's
At
J-E-S-S.
gmail.com.
J. It's J-E-S-S.
IE.
I-E. Okay.
And Ferriol's is F as in Frank, E
I've got that written
R R
down. I know that.
I O L S as in Sam.
I've got it. I'll make sure that it's correct. Okay,
Thank you.
thanks for caring enough to do that. And I see that Desmond is on. Hi, Desmond.
Hi, Glenda.
How are you today?
It's a good day here in Spring Lake.
Right.
Yes, I just love that project that you gave us to do about collecting images.
Oh,
The
good.
course that we took.
Yeah.
And I've got like over 700 images already.
Wow! Amazing.
It's extraordinary, like the visions that I'm having. I'm creating images all the time in my thoughts.
It
But
really does help too, doesn't it?
it helps a lot. And I found one thing I found really interesting is that there's a lot of images that I have that I'm seeking for, and that they don't exist on the internet, at least. But I must say that your picture of Yeshua and Mother Mary are the most beautiful pictures of Yeshua and Mother Mary.
Oh, that's so sweet of you to say that. Thank you. I certainly like them. And a lot of other people do too. For the benefit of everyone else, since we try to keep these calls relevant to everyone, what Desmond is referring to is a course that he was recently in that I also mentioned on our blessing call, and that is that our higher consciousness often thinks and absorbs information from God and from the universe in pictures, in image form, because at the very, very highest level of awareness, we are like the sun, the moon, and the stars. We don't think in words or verbal languages. We think in images. And sometimes to use images to capture the essence of what we're wanting to create or have or do can help pull us above the complications of words. If you've ever noticed, sometimes you will say something, and then even in the same sentence, you contradict yourself. Or you could say something just a little bit the wrong way, and the person who you said it to took it the wrong way. Have you noticed that, Desmond?
Yes, I have.
I don't know of a living human that hasn't had that experience, because words are so limited and they're so filled with opportunity for projecting meanings into them that are not necessarily what a person meant or even what we meant when we spoke the words. So at the higher, purer states of consciousness, images and are the way we think. And actually, God often sends us answers in images. The angels often bring us answers in images. We may be praying about a place to live, and in our dreams or in our mind, we'll keep seeing this picture of a mountain. And it's not any particular mountain, but we know we should start looking into the possibility of living in the mountains, or it could be the seacoast, or it could be a city. But we receive these initial higher impulses from pictures. Now, an interesting thing about that, which is extremely relevant to these teachings of Yeshua, is that the first 1,500 years in which his message was carried forward, it was carried forward largely in pictures. In pictures. Now, how can a picture carry so much information? Well, people would ask me, Glenda, how could you remember everything from your conversations with Jesus? And I would say, well, I took lots and lots of notes. And they'd say, yeah, but those were handwritten notes. How could you have taken down everything and painted at the same time? And I said, you're right. You know, when I wrote the book, I looked at the picture and everything was encoded in that picture. And I keep looking at it and I get more from it. And other people look at it, and they get more from it. And the same, the pictures of Mother Mary, the pictures of Yeshua, the first light. You know, an interesting thing about that painting is it's quite a large painting. It's about 3 by 4 feet. And it was painted, the last finishing layer was in gold and silver and copper leaf. And so it shines like the sun when a bright light is on it. And so one day I thought I would just show it to some people who came over to our house in the sunlight. I took it out to the front yard, had it face the direction of the sun, and people walked down the street just to see how far it would shine. And when they got down the street about 100 feet, the big letters, love, popped off that painting. They were embedded in that painting. And I didn't know it. I promise. I didn't plant it. I didn't put it there. They just popped off and everybody just screams, love, it's there. And you can see it. You have to back off a little ways because you have to give your eye a chance to configure it. But that's the way it is. In so many times when God talks to us, and it's not just one picture, it'll be a little piece here, a little piece there, a little piece there, and we put those pieces together almost like a jigsaw puzzle. And then one day, all of a sudden, we get a perspective on all these images God has been showing us, and we go, oh my Lord, oh, thank you. It took me a while to absorb it and get it. So, Desmond, your comment is very relevant, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And
yeah, thank you, Glenda.
You're welcome. And Mary's on the line. Hi, Mary. I'm trying to unmute your line, Mary. There you go. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. Boy, that was just beautiful, but what you and Desmond were talking about. Thank you so much, both of you, for all of that. That was fascinating and beautiful, so thank you. I just really quickly, I wanted to share with everybody what I think is just such a testimony to these blessings, and I just can't say enough, so I'm getting ready to go on this trip, and I can't make this stuff up, you guys, but what happened is I'm getting ready to go to see John of God, which I think is all because of the blessing, and God bless everybody who's going. But so I didn't have a lot of, spare money, and I was just kind of going along with my day, and all of a sudden a tree fell on my house. I'm not kidding you. Honest to God, a tree, my neighbor's tree fell on my house, but nobody was hurt. My 80-year-old mother would have been in the house alone were it to have happened 10 minutes later. My car was beside the tree that fell. My statue of the Holy Blessed Mother was under where the tree fell with her arms extended in grace. Nobody got hurt, and the bank that owns the house next door very kindly took the tree off my off my house, and my insurance company is going to give me a new roof. So, so you know, and a friend of mine said, "Oh, Mary, that was really bad luck." And I said, "Oh, heavens, no!" You know what? Because God can use anything in this world to bless you with. I never could have afforded a new roof, and you know, everybody was safe. No one was hurt, and really, honestly, I think it's the blessing. I mean, if something, sometimes things that happen in our lives, there's, you know, there's like a thousand other channels of energy that flow through it. And so who's to say what's good or bad that happens in your life? I was very blessed, and everybody was safe, and I just think that's love shining through again. So
absolutely.
So that's my story, and I love you all.
That's great. Thank you. Love it.
Love it.
All right. Okay. Well, we're, Mary, we're going to take a call from area code 973, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Diana.
Hi.
Hi. A while ago, when my daughter was pregnant with a little baby girl, I did ask for a blessing because the baby had been diagnosed with some kind of an abnormality or malformation in the left side, lower by the kidney. And she's born now. She's 7 weeks old. She's adorable. She's otherwise wonderfully healthy. However, she has been now further diagnosed with some abnormalities of the urethra, the ureta, something like that in the left side. And the doctors are figuring this out. Hopefully she can be corrected by surgery, but we're, you know, we're hoping that that will be good. So I just like to ask a blessing that the doctors, you know, are able to fix her up, and she's healthy, and her urinary tract is all healthy, and she grows up strong and healthy.
Oh, great. Oh, absolutely. And what's your name?
Noelle.
N-O-E-L-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that. It's so
lovely.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so thank you very much, and thank you for doing the blessing for you.
You're so welcome.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm going to look through the board some more. We, okay, we have a caller from area code 413, and you're almost on. I'm trying to get you there. You may have to unmute your own phone. Let's. Okay. I think you're going to have to unmute your own phone because there's nothing I can do to bring you on the board directly from here. But we're trying. So, Sheila, we're going to open your line. Hi, you're open.
Yes. Hi, my name is Sheila, and I just wanted to ask a blessing for both of my parents, Carol and Janice.
Okay. Is there any particular thing you would like us to remember them for, or just to bless them?
They both have health issues, so just their physical health.
Okay. We've got them on our blessing list.
Thank you.
We're so, so happy to help.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And I'm going back to our caller from area code 413. Hi, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Sarah.
Hi.
Hi. And this is my first time calling, and I just feel so blessed and so much gratitude. My brother, Tristan, gave me Love Without End this summer, and I've just been reading it and getting so much out of it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, thank you so much. And Glenda, I just wanted to ask for special blessing and help with something where I'm discovering that my mind and my thoughts are just in so, they've been, had a habit of being so in control and who I think I am and just so mental and so many thoughts that are blocking just my ability to be love and to love. And it was beautiful, your conversation with Desmond. It was really helpful in that. I felt like that was already a blessing and an answer. But I just want to ask for some special help to do that, to really let go of those places that I'm blocking being loved by this habit of thinking.
Okay, we will do, and allow it to happen without force, without effort, just graciously and gracefully. That's the best way. That's just the best way to open yourself up, is through faith and trust, and you will receive.
Thank you.
You're so very, very welcome. You're so very welcome. And it looks like we have a clean message board right now, and I don't see anyone else coming on, so I will just make a presentation that I've been dancing around trying to get to for a couple of weeks. We've had so much conversation that I didn't quite get to this, but I wanted to. I started on this message. I think it was 2 weeks ago when I was talking about the four faces of a mountain. And the reason I was doing that is because with everything, even the truth, it can be looked at from different perspectives and still be the truth. I could say it's now autumn here, and at the same time, someone else on our call would be saying, oh, but it's spring here. And the real truth is that we have just passed the point of the equinox, where the planet has just tilted a little more in one direction than another. We can always get back, if we look far enough, we can always find a universal truth. We can always find the ultimate explanation that unifies everyone's opinion about everything. And of course, this is what scientists try to do. They try to get to that neutral, universal point, which often they do with mathematics or with instruments of study that are completely neutral and objective. But there's one subject that is so hard, so very hard to ever find the universal on, and those are the things that upset us. Those are the things that we're called to forgive. Forgiveness is actually not an easy subject. It's not an easy subject to do. It's not an easy subject to explain, and it's most certainly not an easy subject to offer to others when we feel that a transgression has been made against us, or perhaps we against them, because there could be hurt, and that hurt can exist from different perspectives, some of which we will never see. And so when we're talking about that subject of forgiveness, whether it's for something huge or something simple, we have to remember that there are four sides to the mountain. And I want to describe them very, very briefly to you again. Let's just consider, a famous mountain peak like Pikes Peak. Okay? We could be on Pikes Peak, and there's the North Slope. On the North Slope, it's very rare that all the snow actually melts. I've been there in August, and at the peak, on the very north center of the mountain, there's snow. Then there's the East Slope, where you find most of the wildflowers and the more gentle greenery. There's the West Slope, where you find so many rocky plains and just random trees that have survived the Hard Knocks of the Elements. And then usually on the South Slope is where you find most of the timber. And it's a very, very predictable, a very predictable configuration. When people, for example, when people go to buy timber property, which is often in a mountainous region, they actually value the property based on whether it's on the South Slope and or possibly the East Slope. But it's actually a logistical, natural phenomena, and there's a reason for it. There's a reason for the North Slope. The sun never hits it. That's why on the South Slope, the sun is always moving, so it never bears down too long on any one spot. It's moving across the southern sky from early in the morning till late, till it sets at night, and it's always moving, so it's never too harsh, and it gives long growing hours, which is why the timber grows so well on the South Slope. On the Eastern Slope, you have the cool morning, the very cool morning with the dew, maybe any rains that occurred overnight, and the gentle, the decades and decades or centuries of gentle growth on the Eastern Slope has usually created a nice topsoil. And so it's very fertile and conductive to the growth of gentle elements. The Western Slope is where the sun just bears down on the rocks, and it just bears down and bears down, and it burns it everything except the hardiest of plants just get burned on the Western Slope. So what does that have to do with forgiveness? Well, it actually has a lot to do with our understanding of how we experience it and how we process it. On the there are some things, some events in our life, we will never, ever understand. For example, let's just say someone's father was abusive. You will probably never know why. We may never know the hardships he underwent, the serious and critical events of his life, what he suffered, why he was abusive, what motivated him. You may actually never know. The snow may never, ever melt on that slope. There are many, many mysterious hardships in the world that have been caused with so little understanding or explanation. And we simply have to pray that God will give us the strength to forgive and the faith to go on in life without having to understand. Without having to understand everything. Now the Eastern Slope of forgiveness, these are the small things that we do. The small things we do in the family and between friends, the little misunderstandings we have, that, oh my gosh, oh, compared to the love we have for our friends, the love we have for our family members, why would we hold on to a grievance? Like, what is the value? What is the value? What is the point? Let go. Let the flowers bloom. Rush in as fast as you can to make amends. And it maybe even, you don't even have to say you're forgiven. Just make cookies. Make cookies. Put on a movie, put on some music, give a hug. Sometimes forgiveness is just that easy. It's really, really that easy. Now, on the southern slope of forgiveness, sometimes it's a long process. It's a process of discovery. It's a process of reconstructing understanding. It's a process of education. Maybe allowing someone to know why you think the way you think. trying to understand them and letting them know that sincerely you would like to understand how they think. It may be showing courtesy and consideration and respect for a person over a long period of time. In other words, sometimes it takes a lot of sunshine, gently, for the trees to grow. There may have been a misunderstanding in a family two generations ago that caused the children and the grandchildren to have hard feelings. And you don't even know what it was about. It's just for some reason the families don't like each other. Maybe they have prejudice. Maybe they have even, I don't want to say vengeance, but really hard feelings. And they have sworn to not forgive. But maybe driving by and a little wave out the car over a long period of time actually gets to where someone will speak when you both happen to be at the mailbox at the same time. That's the southern slope of forgiving. It's cultivating tolerance, cultivating a field of acceptance in which forgiveness can occur. And now, the western slope of the mountain. These are the occasions where you just have to turn it over to God. You just have to say to God, I really, really can't deal with this. I know you can. Please take me from this because I'm not up to this. And I know this person is not up to dealing with me. Sometimes I've had to help people get over marital breakups or breakups in business where one partner cheated another. And, you know, there will never, ever be forgiveness in this lifetime. But you pray for a new perspective in life. You pray for the power and the strength to walk on. Because nobody has to stay in this place of perpetual hardship and perpetual vengeance. Because God forgives. God forgives everything. God forgives everyone. Everything. And somewhere along the line, there will be healing. It may not be for a long time, and it may be in a different way. You may discover the repair in your life through another person or another way of being. You see, the point I'm giving you is that forgiveness is not always an easy thing. It's not as simple as saying, I'm sorry. It's not as simple as it's okay. Because the fact is, some things are not okay. 9/11 is not okay. The horrors of World War II are not okay. The horrors of Vietnam and wars since that time and bombings, they're not okay. You can never say they're okay. But what we can do is we can move to a different place of being where life is better. We can start over. We can let it be God's business to forgive. We can let it be God's business to make the repairs and the understanding. And I hope that that helps you and it makes sense for you in your love and your desire to seek forgiveness and be forgiven and to walk forward with a better, more beautiful, optimistic state of faith. Let us now move into the blessing. And for those of you who are new, there's really nothing for you to do in this blessing other than just to be seated and to let go of all the thoughts in your mind, because your mind simply can't figure out the blessings of God. Your mind doesn't know what to do with the blessings of God. Your mind doesn't have the answers. And I hope that by covering some of these different perspectives of life, you'll realize that there's not one of us that will ever have all the answers. Even Yeshua on the cross said, "Father, why have you forsaken me? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, he was expressing even his frustration with not knowing the answer to everything. We're not going to know the answer to everything. And we get stuck in things a lot of times because we think until we know the answer, we can't let go. But we have to. And when we let go of our attachment to hardship, the suffering stops, and the doors and the gateways for blessings open, and life just becomes better. So, to receive the blessing, just be in your chair. Don't think. Allow your attention to fall into your heart. Uncross your legs and cross your arms. Don't impair the flow of energy in any way. If you can, have your feet bare and on the floor or the ground. If you can, have your head uncovered, or if it must be covered, let it be covered with cotton or silk or wool or something natural. I will pray a prayer of gratitude to Yeshua, and then the blessing givers and I will convey the energy of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, and the grace of God for about 3 minutes for you. And the reason we convey this energy for you is not because you couldn't. It's just because most people have lost hope. And in losing hope and faith, they've lost their direct connection to flowing it for themselves. We flow it for you until you're strong enough to flow it for yourself. And it's not from us. We're no more than radio or TV waves. We're wave conveyors or messengers from God, flowing the grace of God for you. So receive however you can, to the degree that you can, and come back next week and receive more. So here we are, and I give my love and my heart to you. Dear Yeshua, we thank you with all of our heart, mind, and soul for your love, for your brotherhood, for your friendship, for your guidance, and for showing us that it is possible for the presence of God to be on earth, and that the seed planted in us, which is the presence of God, can be brought to life again and can become the light of our life, that we may be in our life centered within the grace of God, that we may be enfolded, surrounded, and uplifted by his great blessing, his love, his healing. We ask for blessings on all of those who were put on the list, all names on the list. We ask blessings for all of those in our life who couldn't be here today, to ask for blessings. We ask for all of those who don't even know they can ask for blessings. We know that you know what's in their heart and what they need. And we ask that we can conduct that energy for everyone who would be willing to receive from you. Amen. Let us begin.
Your blessing is complete. Amen. Now, I would like you to go and rest and just be simply quiet for at least 7 minutes. Don't think. Don't even pray, because words will take you to a place that's lower than where you are now. Just be. Receive the love of God, the blessings of the Holy Spirit, the graciousness of Yeshua in your life, working through your life and the life of others to make it the best it can be. Bye-bye for now, and I look forward to being with you next week.